I'm Margaret Feinberg, and this is the Joycast. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Joycast, the happiest half hour of your week. As always, I'm your host, Margaret Feinberg, and berry season is here. I am eating all the blackberries, all the blueberries, and all the raspberries that I can stuff into my little belly. Num, num. If you haven't heard, today, we're kicking off the Taste and See Discovering God Among Butchers, Bakers, and Fresh Food Makers Bible Study on the Joycast. I'm encouraging you to reach out to your friends, neighbors, and people who would never go to church and invite them to your front porch or home for the six-session DVD Bible study, where we're going to talk about all things food and faith. So for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be interviewing people featured in the book alongside some fabulous surprise guests. You can order your book, workbook, and DVD at margaretfeinberg.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite retailer. For those of you who have already watched session one of the Taste and See DVD study, you know that one of the notions of hospitality that Jesus continually challenges us on is who we invite to our table. He is constantly inviting and making space for the marginalized, the outcast, the stranger. And yet, no matter who Jesus finds himself with at the table, we discover that when Christ is involved, table time becomes transformation time. One of my friends who demonstrates this so beautifully with her life is Sarah Harmeyer. So often when we think about our giftings, we think about our professional talents. You may be gifted at teaching or writing or math or science. But Sarah realized that God had gifted her with people gathering. So she started opening her home and backyard to people of all different backgrounds, belief systems, ages, and stages, simply so they could experience the power of being seen, heard, loved, and known. Sarah realized the vision and calling was bigger than just the people she gathered around her table. So she began making handcrafted tables and personally delivering them to people around the country so their tables could be places of healing and hope too. You can check out her lovely website, neighborstable.com. I could not think of a better person to help us kick off our Taste and See study. Now, you know that one of the things that I love to do here on the Joycast is kiss practical on the face. And there are so many rich ideas and practices in our conversation, you are never going to gather around the table the same way again. Now, I've never done this before, but I actually listened to this conversation twice so I could write down all of Sarah's brilliant ideas. Yep, they are that good. So pull up a chair, keep a piece of paper and a pen nearby as we learn how to taste and see God's goodness in fresh and new ways around every table we find ourselves at. Sarah, it is so great to have you on the Joycast.
Margaret, it's so fun being here with you. Thanks for inviting me on.
I think that our paths crossed at the IF gathering. Does that sound about right to you?
That's right. I still remember our conversation backstage, Margaret, and you were so real in that very first conversation. And I'm like, I like this girl. She's the real deal. So yeah, that's where we connected.
And I love what you are doing. It is, I think part of the reason that I just felt so connected with you, I was like, we share the same heart. I don't know if that's possible. Similar hearts, but really the same heart, because you have this incredible story of bringing people literally together around the table. And your website and what you do is found at neighborstable.com. And you build handcrafted tables and hand deliver them. And our listeners have got to hear your story and how this started out and how it's grown.
Yeah. So I had a good friend of mine, Margaret, that just helped me realize that I'm a people gatherer. It was in a time of my life where I felt like my identity was really wrapped up in my work. And I was working full time as a fundraiser at the time. And my friend Eric just said, Sarah, I encourage you to think about how you might be a people gatherer in and outside the church. And when I thought back to the very best moments of my life, it was always getting to create an experience for people around the table. So this is a crazy story, but in grad school, I had a cafe out of my house super illegally. Like I played restaurant and people would actually come and I'd just put a mason jar on the table at the end of the meal and say, pay whatever you want. But I just love creating experiences for people. I love seeing people connect at the table. So when he encouraged me to be a people gatherer, I kept coming back to the table. And so I was new to Dallas at the time, and I have a small house, but I have a little bit bigger backyard, still not even that big. And my dad is a peddler, he would say, with woodworking at the time. And I asked him if he'd build me a table. And to me, a table for 20 felt significant, like people were part of something bigger than just their own dining room table. So we put a table and benches for 20 in my backyard and hung chandeliers overhead. And I'm real goal oriented. And so I made a goal around hospitality, which sounds like the craziest, funniest thing to do. But I set a goal to try to serve 500 people back in 2012, one dinner party after another around my table, just to live into the way that God had made me. And it first started by inviting the people closest to me, which were my neighbors. And my motto quickly became the more the merrier. And I just loved seeing people connect with people that were unlikely to connect. And I think in this world, we're losing a little bit of that, and our differences are separating us. And I honestly just wanted to put people together so we would figure out a way to love each other. And after that first year, I did serve 500 people. And it was kind of one of those things that every spare moment I had, I wanted to gather people. And it was really, really beautiful. And it was simple. It started out super fancy. I thought that I had to serve beef tenderloin every meal, Margaret, but it ended up being just as fun when we ordered pizza and just sat around and had drinks until the wee, you know, hours of the night. And I was seeing people connect in a way with each other that were so different. And when I say people were like so different from each other, I mean like, when I was checking out at the grocery store and the guy that was sacking my groceries was like, oh, you must be having a party. You have so many groceries. And I'm like, I actually am. Would you like to come? And I've had grocery sackers at my table, and my plumber that worked in my home has sat at my table, and all different kinds of people that have shared the same faith, the same or different sexual orientation, different political views, like you name the spectrum. And we have sat together at the table, and it's been really beautiful. So my friend Eric circled back with me about a year and a half later, and he said, Sarah, I think I see God getting a lot of glory around your table. And I just continued to gather. But he said, I wonder if there's something outside your yard that he might have for you. And at the time, Margaret, I did not know what that meant. Like, I was like, I can't imagine anything sweeter than what's happening around this table. And then God kind of brought to my mind, there are other people wired just like me. There's other people gatherers in the world. And like, what if I could find those people and cheer them on? And then what if they needed a home base kind of like I did, an actual tool or a table that was specifically used in a missional way to love people with? And that's when I called my dad and said, would you be up for building tables for other people? And his yes has turned into a business now, which we had no clue at the time it would do that. But in end of 2017, I left my full-time job and have been doing Neighbor's Table full-time now. So we have tables in 30 states right now, and I've met the coolest people across the country that are just eager to love the people around them and to be a part of something as they gather their people. So I'm so encouraged and inspired by the people that I've been meeting as well. So that's kind of how our story got off the ground.
It's one thing to make a handcrafted table. I mean, that is a work of art of unique pieces of wood. It's not just the fiberboard being pieced together. These are handmade, gorgeous tables. But what's even more extraordinary than that is you personally hand deliver them.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's really vulnerable to share something you've made with someone, you know, and I can't imagine just shipping that table off. This has always been about people to me. When we gather around the table, it's been about people. It hasn't always been about what's been on the table or what we're preparing for food, even though that's all fun to create. It's always been about people to me. And so delivery is all about people to me as well. So I tell the family when I'm delivering, it's usually just me in the truck, and I say, invite your friends, invite your family, your neighbors out. And community starts when we pull up with the truck, and we'll unload and we'll do a quick little assembly, and I'll have a 5-year-old boy holding the screwdriver and another girl watching the ramp as we come out of the truck, and we just kind of involve everyone. And then I always offer to stay for that first meal, and a lot of people take me up on that. And it's so fun to see those first few guests that they invite to their table. We kind of share the vision for what we hope people will do with their table. And it's as simple as just loving the people around them. I've sat with neighbors, I've sat with their friends, I've sat with big families around their tables, and to share that first meal and kind of just undo some of the pressures we feel as we gather. You know, a lot of people, our table seat 10 or 20 people. So a lot of people have never even cooked for 10 people, much less 20. So walking through that, helping them in the kitchen, thinking through how we want our night to go. And it's really, really fun when we start to toast and we start to really connect around the table. And I get to travel and do that. It is literally the best job in the world, Margaret. It's so fun. And it's crazy. It's crazy to get on the road and do all that, but I can't imagine doing it different. So
what you're describing is this incredibly rich imagery of bringing a table into someone's home. And I love that, because right now we've got so many small groups going through the Taste and See book and Bible study. A lot of them are on session one as we're engaging in, and that's all about entering into the space of the table and really looking at food in the Bible as well as Christ, and how when in the Gospels, if you look at a story of Jesus, you're going to find that most of the time he was either going to a meal, when he wasn't eating a meal, when he wasn't coming from a meal, when he wasn't multiplying a meal. I mean, here is Christ literally being part of the table, bringing in the table of God, who he is, wherever he goes. And I think often we don't think about that we are image bearers, but we are also table carriers, that we are people who are invited to bring ourselves, to bring others around a table, to know and to be known, to love and to be loved, and to enter deeper into that space, knowing that God is with us. I am curious, can you remember one particular time when, and I'm sure there's many, when you delivered a table and you just sensed God show up and grace you or those at the table with his presence?
You know, I am quick to think of the story when I was just outside Tulsa, Oklahoma last year, and it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. The whole family was there when I was delivering the table, and even the little kids. Everyone was so joyful to unload that table. They had gone and picked up tacos from a restaurant nearby and had invited some friends over. And as we sat down after the dad prayed, I felt like someone queued up everyone without anyone queuing up anyone that said, let's share how we've seen God this week. And it was like this unspoken thing, but I sat there and I'm like, these people are really rejoicing and who God was to them and how they saw him this week. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. Afterwards, when we were picking up the table, I said, you know, I'd love to stick around and chat with you guys. I will be getting back on the road. And they're like, well, would you mind if we did some worship just for a little bit? And I was like, sure, like, that's cool. No one's ever, you know, asked to do that. And so we were literally, half of us were sitting on the ground, half of us were still on the benches around the table, and two people were playing guitar. And it was just a spontaneous worship. And I remember the locusts were so loud, and it felt like they were singing right along with us. And I was like, this is crazy and awesome. And then they were like, Sarah, would you mind if we prayed for you? And I'll have to tell you, Margaret, it's usually my thing to pray for the family that gets a table, but to have it turn back on me, I was floored by that. And the things that they prayed and the blessings they prayed over me, still to this day have sat with me. I remember one person saying, you know, Sarah, I pray that these tables are like a needle and thread weaving reconciliation across communities. And I pray, and they were praying all these things, and I was like, whoa, yes, Lord, like, yes, I'm digging this. And they were so sweet. I said, I don't want to ruin the vibe here, but I, you know, probably need to get back on the road. And they were like, well, we'll walk you to the car or the truck. And it felt like family. I was hugging everybody. And like in an instant of 2.5 hours, we had connected like family. And I feel like that is what it's like. And maybe those certain events don't unfold every time we deliver, but there's that connection where I feel like I'm on this road trip, literally this spiritual mission and this road trip. And I'm just waving at people to like jump in the car with me, like, let's do this thing and let's love people and let's gather. And all different kinds of people are gathering around the table. It's been extraordinary. And that's just one example, but there are so many. I've pulled up to a house in Atlanta and we had cereal. There was like a cereal buffet and it was the funnest thing. And 18-year-olds were gathered around the table that night. And I just loved seeing young people gather and the connection that they loved around the table. So you're right. There's so many stories that I could share, but every time is different and everything is God ordained. I think, like you said, Jesus is about the table. He was a food guy. He loved to do things around the table. So I think he smiles at us when we gather as well.
I mean, to think that the very Son of God reveals himself as food stuff, bread of life, true vine, the anointed one dripping in olive oil, the Son of God would associate himself with something so basic and yet so rich and so beautiful that we would encounter him. And what I love is what you just described, Sarah, of kind of driving in that truck and just waving and saying, come on, come on. And that you and I and every listener can be that person. And you don't have to have a backyard that has a table for 20 or a living room that my living room is not, I love you. It is not holding a table for 20. It is too tiny. It is too tiny. But you know what I have access to and everybody does? A local park. A local, you know, public area, possibly near a reservoir where there's already a grill built in and that you can gather people there and begin waving people in for this intentional conversation that, like you said, where do you see God working in your life? And maybe if the person isn't a believer or is in a different space in their spiritual journey or place to say, where do you see the divine? Where do you see the higher power? But to be intentional about engaging in those spiritual conversations and asking unlocking questions that unlock people's hearts in there. One of the things that I love that you said is that idea of being intentional about how the night unfolds. In other words, it's not just come and pull out a cereal bar or, you know, ordering pizza or cooking amazing beef, because I am a beef-tastic girl, but that there's an intentionality. Can you talk to some practical tips that maybe you've discovered in laying out that table that others can employ in their own lives?
Yeah. So the first thing, I just love celebrating people and I want to honor every single person that walks down my driveway. So the very first thing I do, but after getting them a drink in their hand and connecting them to someone new, is I like to circle everyone up. And I have done this from the very beginning, Margaret. I circle everyone up and I introduce every person by name and I go around and I tell them what I love about them. Now, you can imagine over 3,500 people that have walked down my driveway over the last few years, there have been a lot of people that I have not known. And so I work that first amount of time when they're walking down the driveway to get to know them, even if it's a quick thing like, hey, you guys, this is George. We just met, but I can tell he's an amazing dad by the way he lit up talking about his boys' soccer games this morning. And he's an attorney as well, and he's going to sit at this end of the table. So if you have any questions, he'll be down here. And I just go around so briefly and honor the people that have gathered at our table. And the reason why I like to do that, you even mentioned it, like, we all want to feel connected. We all want to feel seen. You should see the smiles that creep out of people's hearts on their faces when I'm just introducing them. There's something about feeling like, oh, I'm a part of this. And I'm actually hearing something that someone loves about me as opposed to something that's not working like I've heard at work this week or whatever. And then what I'll do is I'll kind of suggest what I hope we would experience around the table together. I'll say things like, I hope that we would do more listening than talking tonight. It kind of makes people pause, like, okay, what does she mean by that? And that's really just being with each other. So if I'm sitting across from someone that's so different than me, instead of me feeling like, oh, I feel really different from that, or I've got to have a different opinion ready to say, like my experience, like what if we were just with each other and we got to hear each other out? I would hope that the same respect would be shared among everyone so that those tables would turn literally and everyone would be listening to each other. I also suggest that everybody's in on the table experience. So I know that I'm hosting, and there can a lot of times be a lot of pressure with hosting, making sure all the food gets out and everyone's enjoying their time. But what if we invited people to create that experience together? So I say that, like, if you see water glasses low, jump up and fill water glasses. If you want to help bring the food out from the kitchen, help me out. Or if you want to open another bottle of wine, like, let's do this together. And I always throw in, if you want to load the dishwasher, you can do that too. And I don't remember the last time I've loaded my dishwasher. Like, everybody clues in and they're like, okay, we'll do this together. So another thing I have is I hope that we would celebrate this evening. At any time in the night, if someone wants to give a toast, I invite them to do that. I've had an evening where there's been 12 toasts. Like, anyone that raises their glass gets the attention and they offer a toast to the table. It's really being together. And you can imagine a table that's larger will have different conversations throughout the night, depending on who you're sitting by. Well, I always encourage at some point in the evening, I'd like to have one conversation together as a table. And that's usually over dessert is how it falls. And then I'll toss out a topic or a word or something I've been thinking about or something we've seen in the news. And I just love hearing what everyone has to say about that or think about that. And it just, usually we've created an atmosphere of listening and respect by that point that everyone, I would hope, feels safe to share if they choose to do that. So there's different ways of doing that. I always pray before our meal. And I literally always ask, would it be okay if I prayed for us? And I genuinely look around and I know there's been many non-praying people at my table, but I want them to feel, you know, comfortable. And it's possibly my first signal of like, this is a praying home and this is what we're about here. So, and I say we, it's just me at my house, but I feel like we create this experience together so often. So that's really how simple it is around my table. I do place cards. I love, you know, the thought of having a place set just for each guest. And I feel like it's a nod to, you know, our banqueting table in heaven and how, you know, we're going to be expected there. And he's preparing this place. There's just so many nods to some of those spiritual thoughts that are in the Bible. So, yeah, that's kind of how I do it. And every night's different, depending on who shows up. And and how God wants to move. So it's really fun.
One of the things that I love to equip listeners with, and those who have been listening to past episodes of the Joycast know this, is this topic of unlocking questions. In other words, when we gather around the table, so often, if it's somebody new, it just goes to weather, what do you do, where are you from, how many kids do you have? And those are all important questions, but there's this ache, I believe, inside of the human heart for something more. Are there specific questions that you found helpful? Kind of like that question of, One of the ones I love to ask is, where have you seen God moving in your life recently? Or I may ask a more just pointed question to kind of get people thinking or kind of figure out where they are spiritually and just ask, you know, what do you love about Jesus? Do you have any that you keep kind of in your back pocket for listeners?
I feel like I've never thought about like, hey, what are those questions in my pocket? So, you know, a lot of times I'll take a characteristic of God. I learned this from my friend Carrie, and she'll pose a question like, I've just been thinking a lot about the word faithfulness lately. Like, what does that mean to you? That's a question I'll pose to the table a lot of times. I'll take a characteristic of God and hear what different people kind of resonate with, even in just that word faithfulness. It could be about marriage. It could be about something that they saw God do in their life that he didn't give up on them, or, you know, whatever their description or their experience of that. So I like to do that. And then I always like to kind of tie a little bow around it at the end and let people kind of marinate on how I see God as being faithful, for example. I think it is always an important question to know how people grew up, because I think that shapes a lot of us. When we're different, understanding the place where people grew up is an important part of their story and has shaped a lot of their faith or lack of faith. And I always like to know that. It's just a way to get to know people, but also identify where they're coming from. And then, like you said, like, have you had a faith journey? Like, what does that look like for you? And you can phrase that in a lot of different ways, but I think we learn a lot about each other and about God through stories. And I always invite the opportunity to share stories. One of my favorite things to do is to do a potluck and have people bring a dish with a story, and it leaves it wide open for people to interpret what that means. Like, someone could say, this is the Lebanese dish that my family would always prepare at Thanksgiving, or these are the grape leaves that we would prepare, or these are the cupcakes that my fiance had for me the night we got engaged, or whatever. But it gives people another springboard to connecting with each other of something that they share from their own heart. So I always want my table to be a place where sharing comes easy and that it's safe. And I think in those kind of environments, we can have those deeper conversations like you're hinting at, that we can go there with people and they can be safe to say, this isn't a part of my life, or this isn't something I've considered lately, and see where things go from there. But one of the things I think the church does weird is sometimes we make people projects, and I just do not like that idea. So I would encourage your listeners, if they're thinking about gathering people in an intentional way, like, really just think about loving people and meeting them where they are, and not like with this end game of where you've got to get people to by the end of the meal or by the end of your conversation, but just really hear where they're at and pray for them. Be really prayerful. I pray over my table before any time I set people up with their place cards, or if I've got a different kind of group coming, I'm always prayerful. And I just invite God to do his thing. And if he wants to use me in that or use someone else at the table, then I ask that I would be willing to be there. But never make people your project. It's just a bad taste, and people know the difference. So I cheer people on to be normal. I don't know why normal isn't a hard thing to do, but let's all be normal and just really loving
And I think Christ will be seen in us and through our conversations.
And all God's people said, amen.
Here's to normal.
Cheers.
Ting, ting. Oh, gosh.
Now, when people go to Neighbor's Table, they can find out about ordering your tables. And also, for some of you, I mean, you've got those gorgeous dough bowls and a variety of products. So even if you aren't in a place where maybe you need a new table, definitely go to Neighbor's Table and check it out and look at some of the beautiful work, the stories, as well as some of the unique products that you have. Now, another question that we love to ask on the Joycast is for our guests to share a recipe. And so I am curious, what recipe would you love to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So my dad recently had a doctor tell him that he should be eating 90% plant-based diet. Now, my dad comes from like the frozen pizza hot dog variety. So we have been trying to be creative of how to incorporate some more vegetables. So just last week, and I wanted to share this with your listeners, we made something called Parmesan zucchini. And he had a sweet lady from church that had grown the hugest zucchini in her garden. And my dad honestly could not even remember what a zucchini was. It had been that long since he had it. And so what I did was I cut this huge zucchini up in spears and I rolled it in olive oil and I dusted it with breadcrumbs and Italian seasoning and Parmesan cheese. And then I baked it. So it's kind of like fried zucchini, but in a more healthy version of baking it. Put it out on a baking sheet and we could eat it. We ate it as a side dish for our dinner that night. It could also be served as an appetizer. I served it with a side of ranch and marinara just to like pull in what my dad loves. And he gobbled those things up. And so it's just a fun, healthy recipe that I think is kind of a change on maybe what we typically serve. But it's been a nice little thing in our rotation. We're going to eat it again this week when I'm up there working on tables with him. So Parmesan zucchini is my new fun thing. So,
ooh la la. And our listeners can find that recipe at margaretfeinberg.com/thejoycast. So go ahead, look up that recipe and try making it. I know I can't wait to try it this summer. Ooh, the zucchini's coming in big here in Utah soon. Thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the Joycast.
Margaret, thanks for having me. You are a delight and just shine so much joy everywhere you are. So thanks for inviting me in today.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Joycast. If you've enjoyed today's conversation and you'd like to dive deeper into the unexpected joys awaiting you around your table, check out my new book and Bible study, Taste and See, Discovering God Among Butchers, Bakers, and Fresh Food Makers. These resources will help you savor your life, nourish your friendships, and embark on your greatest faith adventure. You can purchase them at your favorite retailer or margaretfeinbergstore.com. If you do, reach out to me on social media or my website and let me know what you think. Until we meet again, bon appetit and amen.